Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And we would encourage you to sign up for our newsletter. Over 50,000 people have subscribed. It's one-stop shopping because we do multiple presentations a day. Best of all, it's free. All you have to do is go to the Common Sense Show and, excuse me, thecommonsenseshow.com and put in your email address in the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner. No, we don't sell your data, and you'll receive yours first thing tomorrow. When does it arrive? Late afternoon, early evening, depending on your time zone. So we'd encourage you to do that today. We are going to talk to you about a breakthrough, a monumental breakthrough. Stansberry Research has really brought some of this out. I went and did some of my own research, complemented their story with some of my information here, but it's really, really interesting. Energy transmission and usage, as we know it, could dramatically change in under a decade. But there is an obstacle, and we're going to tell you about that obstacle. It's not good. It's not good. That obstacle allows the FBI to keep Nikola Tesla's files under lock and key over 70 boxes. He was hundreds of years ahead of his time. One can only guess what's there. And we're going to talk about why that's possible. And it's not good. And we need to undo this. This edition of the Common Sense Show is brought to you by the Magic Dicol Starter Pack, 15% off retail price. And what you get are three spray bottles. What is that? Well, you hold it up, you just spray it in. Maintenance dose is five sprays once a day. You can use it as often as you need. It doesn't cure anything, but it does boost your immune system because it raises vitamin C, vitamin D, the nuclear receptors, and helps your telomeres, which is linked to cell longevity. And you know my story with RSV, strep lung linings, negative prognosis, what this product did for me. And then you've got the topical gel, pluripotent stem cells created there. It's fantastic. And today, because I've used it on my bone-on-bone right knee, I can do things in the gym I haven't done in 25 years. I wish I could afford or wanted to have an MRI on my knee because I think we'd see structural differences because I'm doing sled pushes, squats, deadlifts. Haven't been able to do those things in 25 years until I started taking this. Took me 2 to 3 months to get there. And then, of course, you've got the NanoSoma skin cream. It's advertised as fine lines and wrinkles and moves that back. But for me, remember I used it on my cut? We were talking about that. I wrapped it up. I had such a bad cut. I should have had 4 to 6 stitches. Didn't want to mess with it. Let me see if I can fix it on my own. I used this, and that was the result. All three together, 15% off. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. I'm going to share something with you here that it should be very concerning. I've mentioned this in passing more than once over the past couple of years, but I want to show you the real deal because some people say, oh, Dave, that act doesn't exist. Okay, well, I went and dug up the act from the Congressional Archives. And we're going to show it to you, and we're going to explain to you what it means. And then we're going to talk about the biggest energy breakthrough in the history of the world. Not my opinion, the opinion of experts. But there are some people who don't want to let this come to market for financial reasons, competition reasons, back to financial reasons. And we're going to talk about all that right here on the Common Sense Show. For those on social media, I'm showing you something here on screen called H.R. 4687, the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951. It was actually passed in early 52. And this is needed, but it's abused. So, in other words, I support the act. I don't support how far the act has gone. And this presentation, in terms of revolutionary new power and energy that's going to come into being, well, it's already in being. We're going to have to divide this into two parts because it's too complex. First, I want to take you through what I think the government's going to do. If there was anything that would ever threaten the oil companies, the new climate change technology with wind and solar and so forth, and by the way, I'm not opposed to that. We have solar on our house. Okay, so I'm in full support of that. But what I'm saying is the government recently has shown a vested interest to protect those industries, and I believe they're going to use this act to do this. Now, what if there was, and by the way, I'm not talking about zero point energy. We're not talking Nikola Tesla, although I'll bring him up as an example. We're talking about a new form of energy with science that's safer, cleaner, and more effective and monumentally applicable. And the effect economically is astronomical. We're going to talk about that in the next segment, but I want to show you what's going to keep this from coming into play, in my humble opinion. And I'll use a personal anecdote to explain that. Okay, so we're looking here at the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951. If we do decide to play this on our podcast and our radio networks, I'll give a verbal description of what we're looking at here, but this is a contextual from the Archives of Congress, Public Law 82-256, titled The Invention Secrecy Act of 1951. And I'm going to take you down here to the text here, and you can see Harry Truman was the president. Okay. Allen Barkley was the vice president. Sam Rayburn, the Speaker of the House. Kind of the Newt Gingrich of his day, if you will. All right, we're going to go down to here, and I'm going to show you something very concerning. Okay, on page 3, chapter 4, I'm reading this to you. If, in the opinion of the Atomic Energy Commission, the Secretary of Defense Department or the chief officer of another department or agency does so designated, the publication and disclosure of an invention by granting of a patent would be detrimental to the national security, the Atomic Energy Commission, the Secretary of Defense, or any other chief officer shall notify the Secretary of Commerce, and the invention will be kept secret, and she shall be withheld from the granting of a patent for a period such as the national interest requires, and notify the applicant thereof. They also get in to talk about, because they involve the Department of Commerce, if this is not threatened national security in terms of technology, but it could threaten a lifeblood of the national economy, they can invoke the same power. That's why commerce is involved. And they go through and they spread out the explanation of this over time. And I don't want to make your eyes glaze over by having you look at all this stuff, but you can go look this up here. Just go at your search engine and put in the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951, Public Law 256, February 1st, 1952 is when it was formally signed into law by President Truman. When you look at this here, this is what's going to keep modern innovations from happening. And I have firsthand experience with this. You have heard me interview my good friend, Vance Davis. Vance was former NSA, while he was in the US Army, on loan to NATO and worked out of Germany. And Vance and I have talked about things like zero point energy and Nikola Tesla. That technology is wrapped up under lock and key. In 1943, when Tesla died in his New York City hotel room, the FBI showed up and they took 70 boxes that they have not released to the public. And it contains zero point energy. Now, some of this stuff is coming out sideways through quantum physics. I'm not going to get into all the detailed explanation, but it's a multidimensional approach to science, as opposed to the old Newtonian model of three-dimensional science. Michio Kaku, kind of the Carl Sagan of his day, if you will, in terms of notoriety and respect, famed professor at NYU. He wrote a book called Superstring Theory. I devoured it once, twice, three times. 26 dimensions that you can draw energy from. He explains the ramifications. He divides civilizations to type 1 through 4. We're at the end of type 0. He predicts we're going to destroy ourselves because of uranium. And he thinks 95% of all civilizations in the universe, if such exists, would go through a similar self-destructive pattern by waging war on itself with uranium. Ooh, that's negative. But he goes on to talk about, if you get past this, And you get to type one, and you get well into type one. You're fully controlling the weather, which we can cloud seed and do those kinds of things. And he said that you can actually alter geological events. Ooh, Mississippi River people, you listening to this? But I don't know how far away we are, hundreds of years, probably. Now, having said that, there's a new energy technology that I believe is going to be kept off the market. It's out there, it's being discussed. Stansberry Research has been involved in, and Jeff Bezos is throwing tons of money into this, but there's going to be a battle. There's going to be a huge battle. Let me tell you my own specific experience. Vance and my mentor in this business, the late Bill Pollack, who tragically passed from cancer about 13 years ago, Bill and Vance were close, close friends. Bill had an intelligence background, he was an electronic genius. Vance, very gifted in what he did with the NSA. And I became friends with these guys. I used to go to think tank meetings because I could share certain things they were interested in from my family's background. And we had to sign non-disclosure agreements. We had astronauts, scientists, so forth. And we're trying to figure out from a conglomeration of all these sources what was going on in our country and where was it headed. And I learned a lot. And trust me, some of these people that were there are household names. But I'm not allowed to reveal, except Vance and I have talked about these meetings on air. And before Bill passed, we talked about some of it too. And we used to meet right in the living room of Bill Pollack in La Placidus, New Mexico, which is just north of Albuquerque. Beautiful community, beautiful. Anyway, long story short, Bill was tampering with some things that you would call zero point energy, creating energy out of the ethos. Okay. This is separate and apart from what I'm going to tell you in the next segment with the new energy that Jeff Bezos is backing, the Stansberry Research has brought to light. We drew the attention of Enron. My role was that of a consultant. Now, I'm not going to get into all the details because I was relatively a minor part, although I got to sit in on a lot of the telephonic meetings, and they were more than revealing. Enron was the fourth largest energy corporation of its type in the world when we started talking with them. And they had actually purchased land in the San Luis Valley to carry out Bill and Vance's ideas on creating energy out of ethos. Now, this is quantum physics model, not Newtonian. And I believe this is a lot of what the FBI holds with Tesla files under lock and key that they refuse to release. What is it, 80 years past his death? More than 80 years. And they still won't release it. We were close to a deal, but I will tell you one thing. We only met a couple of times with Ken Lay, Enron CEO. He came on, and one time he said something. He says, "Well, gentlemen, you better all have your dead man switches in place," which means that if something were to be threatening to be happening to you, you let it be known that you got kill switches, and all this information will come out regardless. And Ken said that is kind of a matter of tongue in cheek. But Enron, when we started into this, boom, government came down on them. And I don't believe they were guilty of anything. I think it was they had gotten past the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951. That came up in our discussion. Gee, government didn't stop it here. I guess we can go forward. And that's when Ken made his sidebar comment about your dead man switches. And he was kidding. Turned out he wasn't kidding in its effect. And Enron was smashed. The project was killed. We didn't have any ramifications from the federal government because we weren't involved in finance with them. We were partnering in a technology in a land-based deal, which were perfectly legal above board. Thank goodness, right? That was my experience with how far the government will go to smash a technology. Now, they didn't use the Invention Secrecy Act in 1951. But I know it's been used in other areas. Let's take a look at what Stansberry Research said. And I'm going to read you a quote here, and this will be a good lead-in to the next segment of our show. This energy transformation will revolutionize the entire planet and will be the most unbelievable economic boom in world history. and it will fundamentally change how we live on this planet. And they're correct. And like I said, I think it has nothing to do with Tesla technology. Bill's stuff did. But this, I don't believe, does. It's an inverse of an existing technology, and I'll explain the inverse when we get to it. But I do believe the Invention Secrecy Act is probably going to be employed at some point. You can employ it with the application for patent before you distribute, or the government can step in retroactively. Yeah, no ex post facto law here. And they can do away with the technology or limit or seize the technology from you and prohibit you from even talking about it. So I think this is a major, major concern, because if this comes to market, there are going to be some really, really upset, very powerful and rich people. Very powerful. And I'm going to look into this further because I don't see a lot of evidence that existing energy moguls have control of this. I think this is a new set of players. To be continued. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. I reran a story on the splitting of Africa. We are going through a geological age where there are profound earth changes taking place. And I'm not actually going to put together a compilation of this later in the week, but we are looking at in this segment, we've talked about Cascadia, Alaska, Yellowstone, other areas across America. Arizona's cracking and fracturing. We don't know the extent of that yet, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time dwelling on that. But a new problem has emerged. And my fear is it's going to be confused with fear-mongering with the New Madrid fault line that's been going on now for over a generation. And I think there is some concern about the New Madrid fault line, but I mean, some things that were said were just unfounded scientifically in the last generation. But what we're going to talk about here comes from USGS, EPA, private investigations, satellite technology, sonar, and LIDAR, and looking at what's happening with the Mississippi River. And this affects parts or all of 60% of the states in the United States because of the breadth of the Mississippi River basin, its effect, the tributaries. It's absolutely phenomenal. We are brought to you by a great, great sponsor. It's something that you really need to pay attention to because I consume blueberries, I consume other berries, because I'm concerned about my health. But you really need to know some things before you go further with this. You've heard me talk about Dr. Stephen Gundry, and he seems to be everywhere and anywhere all at the same time. He's amazing and people respect him. This guy lost 70 pounds in his 60s and he's kept it off all this time. It's absolutely amazing. But what I want to talk to you about is healthy and unhealthy fruits. Fruits can be very healthy. They can help you lower constipation, bloating, even helps you burn calories, but the wrong kind of fruit can do the exact opposite. And I was shocked when I found out that this is going on. And Dr. Gundry has made a video, free video, viewed by over 20 million people. The healthyfat.com/Dave is where you go. And this video helps you gain information to these important concepts because you need to eliminate certain fruits forever to help your energy levels, support digestion, even lose weight. So I'll give that to you again. Thehealthyfat.com/Dave. Keep in mind, Dr. Gundry practices what he preaches with the loss of tremendous weight. It's phenomenal what he is doing for America's health. I wish he and maybe they are, but I don't know about it. I wish he and RFK Jr. would combine forces. Thehealthyfat.com/Dave. Take a look at this free video. 20 million people have seen it. It's absolutely phenomenal. And really, you're the beneficiary for this. We are looking at a situation here geologically in America that is extremely upsetting. I want you to drop a comment about what you think right now in terms of the map you're looking at. Look at the breadth of effect that goes on with the Mississippi River. This is phenomenal. It flows directly through 10 states. It's a major economic engine. The loss of it would devastate this economy. And we're going to get into specifics here, and we're going to stick to factual representations, not trying to scare anybody, but it's something that I think we need to take a look at the fact, like I pointed out in the repost I just did in the previous segment, Africa's splitting apart, and you saw the pictures and everything else with it. There's no denying it's happening. Cascadia is pulling apart. The San Andreas Fault is more active now than it's been. There's something going on with the planet. People are talking about magnetosphere reversal. I don't know if we're there, but there are changes in true north. The sun is more active. We're going through a real re-energization of Earth changes. And it seems to be cyclical and not tied to anything that's going on in the moment. At least this is what a lot of the scientists are saying. I don't know. I don't have the expertise to judge that part of it. But what I can judge is the scientific presentation and does the research back up the conclusions. I can judge that effectively. But what I can tell you is that I saw this and I had a, oh my goodness. By the way, we talked about how South America is sinking. We did that back in late April, early May. And it's measurable. What is going on? Now, we know a long time ago we used to be Pangaea, one huge monolithic continent. And then it split apart. And then we've had other issues here. When we look at South America and Africa, you could see clearly where they were joined one time. And people say, well, Dave, this is probably a problem, the way you describe it, that could take millions of years to coalesce. And who even knows if humans are going to be around then? The second coming might happen. I mean, let's not worry about that far in the future. I'm going to say, au contraire, mon frère, this could happen pretty quickly. And I'm going to point to some anomalies that we've seen historically. Woolly mammoth, more than one, in Siberia. With undigested vegetation in its stomach. So something transported this woolly mammoth, killed it, froze it, and in a 30-minute period, froze the digestion process. That's a pretty dramatic earth change. And what we've learned now, too, is the outer crust moves slowly, slow separation. And then underneath the mantle, there is like being on roller skates. It can happen quickly, and you can have violent, sudden, and massive change. And this is something that's taken place since I've been out of college in terms of the research on this. So this is relatively new, but it's widely accepted now, and it's taught in geology classes in our universities. So to think that these changes are all going to happen gradually, I would say we need to be mindful that it can go both ways. And sometimes it can start slowly and go quickly, or sometimes without warning. And this is what the models are telling us. Yes, right. And NOAA and the USGS, they're creating models out of the computerized data. Right now, they're so concerned about the Mississippi River, we're having interagency meetings that are not being publicized, but privately, some people in these meetings are talking about what's going on. LIDAR, sonar, satellite, sediment excavation, analysis of what's happening, and it's pretty scary. Let me get into what we know for a fact. First of all, if something dramatic happens with the Mississippi River, I want you to look at the effects here of the rivers that spawn out, and the effect goes right up to the Continental Divide going west. Going east, we stretch into remote regions of New York, eastern Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Virginia, touches barely North Carolina, down into Georgia. This is incredible. Into Texas. This is amazing. Like I said, 60% of our states are affected by this, over 60%, because damage to one part of a state affects the entire state's economy and their emergency response along with the federal government. I think President Trump needs to really look at revitalizing FEMA, making it useful to the people, which it has not been, but not doing away with it. And a lot of people are calling for the abolition of FEMA. I am not in favor of that. And this piece will help identify. Okay. Basically, there are three issues with the Mississippi River. Deep fissures are forming in the bottom of the river. Some people are saying, some scientists are saying this is tectonic stress. That's number two. That could mean hidden volcanic activity. This is why LIDAR and sonar are being exclusively used here by the USGS in assessing this. Can you imagine a tidal wave coming out of the Mississippi River or up from the Gulf if this these events tectonically were to happen in the southern part of the river basin? This would be catastrophic. Then you've got the water is increasingly becoming salt water. Oh, it's still drinkable, but it used to be minuscule traces to noticeable increases. So those are the three fundamental issues that caught the attention of government agencies looking at this. Now, what do government agencies do when they have a potential catastrophe? They bury it. They talk about it quietly. They don't want you to know about it because they feel they can manage it and they don't want to undermine confidence in their agency or their government. So this is why you're not hearing a lot about it. But if you put yourself to work and you were to do, say, an hour of research using key search terms on any search engine, you're going to find a lot of what I'm talking about. Okay, let's continue. The stress fractures are occurring in fault zones. And of particular concern to me is the New Madrid Fault Zone. Now, I'm going to go back, and I mentioned earlier there are some outrageous claims that have been made in the past about New Madrid. Oh, the Mississippi River is going to change direction. The continent of the United States is going to totally split apart. That is technically possible because we think that's what happened with Africa and South America, but it's not a likely event. So I would not lose sleep over that possibility. But the New Madrid Fault is very active, it's very dangerous. It's more potent in its destructive power potentially than is the San Andreas Fault. And how far would these earthquake effects go? We don't know. That's why the research is going on right now. What scientists are looking at are flow directions because the river could suddenly shift multiple times in multiple directions. Can you imagine the agricultural fallout potentially that could occur? What would that do to food availability in the United States? What would that do to food pricing in the United States? And then you've got the transportation issues. Bridges flooded, unusable, railroad tracks, same thing. If this happens, and this is a real concern on the part of USGS and EPA, but if this were to happen, you could have a total disruption of the food supply. This is absolutely stunningly scary. This is the part that scares me the most. It's not the voodoo associated with the New Madrid Fault Line and all the stuff it's going to do. This is the more real possibility because if you go back and you look at the map of the Mississippi River and you see out of it comes Tennessee River, Ohio River, Illinois River, the Missouri River, Arkansas. The Red River, these are all rivers that can greatly impact downstream the effect on the land, effect on the agriculture, effect on the transportation system, imposing danger to people wherever they, and before not necessarily being in a flood zone before, but all of a sudden would be. And unfortunately, that terrible, terrible flood that we had in Texas could become commonplace if factors were to combine, coalesce, and this river went crazy. And it's possible. I've read some of the USGS reports. They said widespread flooding cannot be discounted. Widespread is what I just said. Red River, Arkansas, Missouri, Ohio, Illinois, Tennessee rivers. It's the breadth of the problem. Shipping. 10 states directly depend on shipping. This is really, in a sense, a natural but very large Panama Canal for the United States. This saves on shipping costs. This is convenience factors. This is product preservation because of time saved in shipping. The spin-off effects here are dramatic about what can happen with this. And by the way, it doesn't matter what you do. You can do nothing to change this. Oh, let me put on my quantum physics hat for a second and pretend I'm Michio Kaku. If we were at the end of being a type one civilization, we could completely control the weather and the geological processes associated with it. And he lays this out very clearly in his book called Super String Theory. I believe he's right. But unfortunately, we are at the end of type zero. We haven't even started type one. We have no possibility of straightening this out. And it's kind of like going back to Mount Vesuvius and the poor people in Pompeii. They had no ability to control it. They didn't know how bad it was going to be. Most of these people died fixed in their positions they were in through the inhalation of these terrible chemicals. And speaking of that, volcanic activity is possible where you have seismic disturbances. And the LIDAR, sonar, and satellites have found seismic disturbances. And already we're seeing slight shifts in the river pattern. Seasonal flooding has been altered, not to a large degree, but they have noticed an alteration. There's also the ecology issue. The fish are involved, the complete ecosystem. Fish that's caught, used for food. Pretty interesting. And this is could all be in danger. Nearby farm sinkholes could appear, thus rendering farms not useful. And as I mentioned, bridges and transportation. And I can't give you details because I don't know how long. Government agencies that are studying this, along with the private think tank groups, they don't know how long. But they are well aware that geological changes tend to happen over long periods of time, but they can happen overnight. We don't know for sure what we're dealing with here. And I think what we're looking at across the planet are sudden earth changes. The ring of fire, so to speak, in the Pacific. It was identified back in the 80s after the Mexico City earth. It was a devastating earthquake in Mexico City. I believe it was 1985. It was either 85 or 86. And all of a sudden we said, you know, there's this ring of fire thing. Yeah. And true north has moved. We've had to readjust our compasses in the last 15 years and North American airports for the true north has moved away from what it was to what it is, and that affects the south. That's why some people say a magnetosphere reversal is coming. I think that's a huge leap in logic. I don't put a lot of faith in that, but it is possible, but it's not likely. But these earth changes can't be denied. We're living through a changing in the cycle in the world, and how far this is going to go, I have no idea. Train, prep, and pray. That's about the only advice I can give you. And I wish I had answers here because I pride myself on at least getting you to think about suggestions. But I will say this. Let's say the minimum happens, which I think is likely. Changes in the river, flooding, sinkholes, transportation disruptions, food supply chain disruptions, food price increases as a result. You might want to think about storable food. This is why I always have this on our menu. We don't push this actively, but when I do stories like this, people say, where do I turn? Well, I use My Patriot Supply and 25-year shelf life, lots of variety in the food, and go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. And I like to throw that in when we do things like this because I think it's really important to realize that we do need to prep. And I always like to say food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. That's your basic starter kit to be self-sufficient, independent. And even if none of these earth changes happen, we have untold numbers of bad actors in our country, and the grid is vulnerable. Another reason. So there's no excuse not to be thinking preparation food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. And we never advocate for violence here on this channel, ever, 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 ever. But self-defense is allowed. That's why you hear the guns and ammo. Because if you were to have something equivalent to a societal breakdown, yeah, you better be able to protect your family and your property. My name is Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Check out our TV show, thecommonsenseshow.tv, for the very best and entertaining stuff. Yeah, this is not entertaining. This is not meant for entertainment. This is meant for factual consideration. But we do things like congressional hearings with UFOs. We take a look at powers of the mind under laboratory conditions and what we have learned. We look at a lot of quantum physics applications, zero point energy, so stuff that's fun and stuff that's even practical and directional in terms of how we're moving. We did a series on teleportation and time travel. The teleportation's already happened. The time travel is still theoretical, as far as I know. Who knows what goes on in the basements of DARPA? But the teleportation started in 2008 that we know of in Leipzig, Germany. And we talk about that cool stuff. People love it. And then, we have our geopolitics and our interviews. Go to thecommonsenseshow.tv. Sign up today. We'll see you back here again next time. Train, prep, and pray. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really good to be with you. Hey, make sure you sign up for our TV show, thecommonsenseshow.tv, and we've got our HIP series there. Fun stuff. Well, I love quantum physics. I like science fiction. I really enjoyed looking at the UFO investigations in Congress. You know, I don't believe in little green men, but they were interesting. And I like repressed technology, learning about that, as well as repressed history. We do all that and more at thecommonsenseshow.tv, and add in the geopolitics and the interviews. You get the complete package. We'll see you over there. Hey, we are brought to you by great sponsor, My Digital Money. With stablecoin coming online, Bitcoin, crypto, XRP, Ethereum, the whole kit and caboodle, it's going to explode. Did you hear my interview with Guy Gottschalk, the CEO of My Digital Money? Well, if you haven't caught that, you should catch that. It's a tremendous, tremendous interview. Guy did a great job laying all of it out. Crypto is where you want to be going forward. We've gone from 60,000 to 111,000 in just over a year. It's going to go to 300,000 to a million. And the experts are saying, hold on to your hats, because this is going to go crazy. My Digital Money is the best at doing what they do. You can trust them. I'm a customer. I love it. Go to mydigitalmoney.com. That's mydigitalmoney.com. Or you can call them at 833-MDM for My Digital Money, 833-MDM. 2008. Well, we have an amazing revelation. I watched part of an interview today with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. And the interviewers were kind of afraid to ask him the question. What they really wanted to ask him was, Secretary Bessent, should we get rid of the Federal Reserve? I get all choked up over this. Getting rid of the Federal Reserve. Should we get rid of our migraine headaches? Our rheumatoid arthritis? This is something I don't dance around. The Fed should never have been. It's unconstitutional. Congress, according to the Constitution, shall coin money, not a self-appointed group of selfish, self-serving bankers. But anyway, here's what Scott Bessent said when they finally got around to the right question. What do you want to do about the Fed? Well, we need to evaluate how effective they have been to make some important decisions. Uh-oh. You know what he's saying there? We're looking to get rid of them. Well, let me help the Treasury Department, and I'll save you a lot of time. Let's just do a real quick history lesson, bring it up to the present. From 1800 to 1913, at the inception of the Federal Reserve, America supported itself exclusively on tariffs. No wonder the elite hate tariffs, because they want to keep printing money from the government and they want it for their little special projects, courtesy of you, with things like USAID, right? Pretty clear. But anyway, from 1800 to 1913, a dollar was worth a dollar. There were some ups and downs. There was even a depression in there, the 1890 silver depression. But we had a real situation where we had a stable economy, self-supporting based on tariffs, and we were becoming an economic juggernaut. And then the Federal Reserve said, you know, we need to get the people's money out of their hands and into our pockets. And they eventually did away with the gold standard in 1971. And you know what that added up to? Out of control budgets, $37 trillion in debt. Okay, if that's not bad enough for the Federal Reserve that led the charge on this, let's not forget we didn't have an income tax until 1913. Yeah, this came together. Brainchild of the creatures from Jekyll Island, as G. Edward Griffin would call them. They wanted to have taxes paid so government projects could feed them money. Adding to the deficit, taking us off the gold standard. This is not good. Now, dollar was a dollar for 113 years. Today, what's a dollar worth with looking backwards to 1913 at the inception of the Federal Reserve? It's less than 3 cents. They have lost 97% plus of the value of the dollar. And we're debating whether or not we should keep these people around. Here we have a recovering economy, and we have a Federal Reserve chair who's sabotaging the Trump economic comeback by not lowering interest rates. It makes no sense why he won't do it. Economically, no one could explain it. It's just plain, absolute sabotage. The Fed is the dodo bird of modern economics. Secretary Bessent, I respectfully submit to you that if the Federal Reserve were, let's say, a baseball manager, and they won less than 3% of our game, their games, how long would they keep their job? They wouldn't make it through the first season. Why are we keeping the Fed? And Trump with stablecoin and emphasis on Bitcoin and emphasis on gold and silver is a move away from the Fed. They had a total economic dictatorship for over a century. It's changing. The Fed needs to be disbanded. Now, President Trump can't take credit for this. He can take credit for what he's doing, which is really good. But the brainchild of this actually came from Ron Paul, former congressman and presidential candidate from Texas. Dr. Ron Paul, yes, Dr. Ron Paul, wanted to end the Fed. He used to be the head of the House Banking Committee. He'd have them before Congress and he'd ask them questions they refused to answer as they would cover for each other. Kind of reminds me of the Otto Penn testimony. The Federal Reserve needs to go away, and I am so happy to hear Secretary Bessent say, we're looking at them. They've made up their mind. They're building the case. Trump wants the Fed gone. He's made that clear with his comments about Jerome Powell. It can't come too soon. This is a very positive development from this president. What will replace it? Government control of the money as dictated in the Constitution, not private control. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Welcome to part two. And in this segment, we're going to talk about my greatest fear, which is how the elite mired in, well, natural gas, oil, and these technologies will conspire together to get the government to invoke the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951 to keep the greatest energy innovation in the history of mankind from coming to fruition. We're going to tell you all about it right here. Hey, turned on Fox today, looked a little bit at CNN to see how the other side lives. And let me tell you what I heard. Bitcoin being pushed towards absolute acceptance, it's going to skyrocket. Now, Bitcoin went from 60 to 111,000 in less than a year. It's projected by many experts to go to 300,000, maybe even a million within 5 years. This is the time, people. You don't have to understand it. You can study it, but this is the time. This is the great change in finance is regard to gold, silver, Bitcoin. And I'm telling you, Bitcoin is something that you should not ignore because of the diversification principle of not putting all your eggs in one basket. Now, My Digital Money, best, most reliable company I'm aware of. Passive approach to getting you involved. You literally have to close your own deal. What do you do? Well, make it work for you and make it work now before the market gets saturated. Go to mydigitalmoney.com. That's mydigitalmoney.com. Do you get the feeling we're going through a great reset? It doesn't have to be like the good people at the World Economic Forum are telling us that very few of us want any part of. Doesn't have to be like that. It can be positive, it can be innovative. And I'm going to give you an example here as I turn to my notes. It's called Amazon Helios. Now, this term was popularized by Whitney Tilson. And I said that Stansberry Research has been popularizing this over the last couple of weeks. And this has a possibility of succeeding because of who's involved in the backing. Jeff Bezos has jumped into this head first. And I know Bezos met with Trump quite a bit in the interim period between the election and the swearing in. And I think I counted no less than three meetings. And I guarantee you this was part of their discussion, if not the main focus of their discussion. Trump said, we live on a golden age. And he talked about economics. And then he got into energy. This is phenomenal. Let me break this down for you. The concept is based on nuclear fusion, not fission. It's not splitting anything. It's not like the nuclear power plants. It's fusion, where atoms merge to release immense energy. It's the opposite of what happens in nuclear power plants. This offers cleaner energy with minimal waste and abundant fuel when combined with hydrogen, which is an omnipresent aspect in our environment. Hydrogen's everywhere, and it's part of this process. Jeff Bezos is leading this initiative, sinking tens of millions of dollars into this, going into the billions, from what I'm told. Now, this has global impact because clean energy from this fusion process will have profound effects on energy production, global economies, societal structures. A lot of the people today in the world that suffer from malnutrition resulting from famine, crop shortages, they live too far away from the sources. This could change all of this. Now, it's not AI, robotics, or EVs. Amazon is known for its advancements in these areas. This is not Bezos trying to feather his existing nest. He is going in a different direction, which makes me respect his effort. And he says this is absolutely the future. It's game-changing. And if it's undertaken by the major nations of the world, it will transform the planet. And fighting over resources, the wars that have occurred, will become far less important. There's a catch. I can't find evidence that those that control oil, those that control natural gas, are part of this process. I have searched high and low. Now, we're in the infancy of this, and we're talking something that isn't decades out, but it could be a decade out. But I can't find evidence of a buy-in from these other energy sectors. And President Trump just went to Qatar and signed a deal a few months ago that with the fall of Syria into rebel hands and they're friendly to the US, a pipeline can exist from Qatar, large natural gas, into Europe, bypassing Russian dominance, where Russia was supplying 30 to 40% of European natural gas, home heating oil, before the Ukrainian war. This is a bypass and puts more pressure on Russia. Trump could be betting on that these processes can exist simultaneously for a while, but ultimately, nuclear fission will overtake natural gas and oil. Oil could go the way of the dodo bird. Do you see where this comes in now? Who's going to have long-term control over the government? The government could invoke at any time, retroactively, the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951, because the Department of Commerce is involved. I understand why the act exists. It came in 51 because we were trying to limit who would all get nuclear weapons. That was a good thing. It's been misused because it's kept some valuable things from coming to market, like I talked about in the last segment with Enron and what they wanted to do with technically what we call zero point energy from Nikola Tesla. That's been totally suppressed and kept away from the world as much as possible. Even though great scientists today in the quantum model are uncovering a lot of this stuff, we just don't know how far Tesla went. I suspect Tesla is still 100 years ahead of anything we've got. Now, having said that, will there be a buy-in from the entire energy sector? Trump is the ultimate deal maker, but what concerns me is he has 3.5 years left. This process is longer than 3.5 years. What if people get in that don't want this because they want to maintain control and their donor base and their power base is solidly behind what we call the fossil fuels industry? This is a problem. And this is why I went to great lengths in the last segment to describe the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951, which, like I said, can be retroactively applied. And I can tell you this, I think it's unconstitutional. But try and get John Roberts and some of these Supreme Court members, I think the vote would be 7-2. I think that this would be upheld. So this is a problem. This is not having this will hold back humanity. And as Trump said, we are headed for a new golden age. This is the key. Energy drives everything because we live in consumer markets where everything is shipped. And if you can make it horribly inexpensive, if you can cut out home heating oil. Oh my gosh, what about the money behind? Oh, like Arizona Public Service. We call it's APS, and we lovingly refer to them as Arizona people stealing from us because every time we turn around, they're raising rates because someone cracked a fingernail. What's going to happen to those people? They're not going to buy into this unless they have a part of this. So is Trump going to try to do a megalithic deal? But how is that fair to Jeff Bezos, who's already putting a large stock of what he is worth into this? Why should he share his initial investment? I'm not sure how this is going to go, but let's hope it does go. My purpose here today is to make you aware of this because before politicians do most anything, especially in any kind of society that has democratic participation, which way is the wind blowing? How do the people feel? I wanted to make you aware of this so you can educate yourself. And as you make your opinions and feelings known, you might be able to shape which way this government goes with this. I think you can tell from my perspective, I'm already biased on the side of doing this. We could have been here 80 years ago, but we're not. We can redirect our course. Let's pray that that happens. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We will see you back here again next time. Thanks for joining us.